I guess we'll set aside 5 minutes for setup. Okay, we're on the hearing committee report, tab 5. I'll turn it over to Chairman Blount.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we've last met, we've had 3 public hearings, one in Portland, Portsmouth, and Fairhaven. We had a variety of people show up at each and provide their comments. We also received a lot of written comments. Talia will go into those shortly. We had a committee meeting here yesterday. We finalized the document. The service provided us with some last-minute healthy comments to speed the process along. And I think we addressed most most of those, and Talia will go into a few of those today and make sure we have accommodated that. We'll have a series, not even, we have 3 motions when we're done with the presentation, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm going to turn it right over to Talia. She can give us the presentation. You can ask me questions or answers after that, and I'll put the motions up.
Hi, all. Like Frank said, my name is Talia Bigelow, and I just want to let you guys know that I've added a few slides to the presentation. So the presentation you have in your binder has a few more slides that I'll be presenting today, but you don't have. So I'll get those to you later. I've just thrown in an acronym slide for those of you who forget what's going on. It is important to note that in the herring FMP, we're going to be changing allowable biological catch to acceptable biological catch, and I'll get into that in a minute. This is just a quick slide to give you a quick review of the amendment. It's important to note here that the amendment is going to be mostly procedural and administrative. And so while we will be defining overfishing limits, acceptable biological catch, and the annual catch limits, we're not actually going to be setting any numbers through the amendment. That's going to be done through the specifications process. Okay, so this is just a brief roadmap for the annual catch limits and accountability measures that are going to be that are in the amendment. It's important to note that there are 2 different alternatives under the annual catch limits, and under alternative 2, we actually have 1 sub bullet there that we're going to have to decide. There are 2 different options that we're going to have to decide between today, and also under the accountability measures under alternative 2, there are 2 different options that will be presented. Okay, on to the no action alternative. We're required to, under NEPA, to compare a no action alternative to the proposed action. But with this alternative, the FMP wouldn't be brought into compliance with the new provisions of the MSA. So more specifically, the terms would not be defined as the MSA requires, and the TACs would remain TACs, and sub-ACLs would not be established under this alternative. Okay, under alternative 2, however, we have a set of definitions that would be defined. catch would be defined as the total quantity of fish taken in commercial, recreational, subsistence, tribal, and other fisheries. We would also be defining stocks in a fishery. We're actually required to define the stocks in our fishery, and we are going to be defining those just as Atlantic herring. And we're also defining the overfishing level, which would be the fishing maximum times the biomass. Also being defined, we have a couple definition slides, is the acceptable biological catch, which would henceforth be the max catch recommended for the harvest. And as is defined on the slide, you can see that the ABC could be equal to OFL, but would never be greater than OFL, overfishing limit, excuse me. And the ABC would be determined solely by the SSC, and the SSC would determine ABC by subtracting scientific uncertainty from the overfishing limit. So what is the scientific uncertainty? Well, it would be defined by the SSC as well. And there are several sources of scientific uncertainty, possible sources of scientific uncertainty that could be incorporated. For instance, in the 2010-2012 specs, they considered the mixing of herring stock components, the retrospective pattern in the stock assessment, and predator-prey relationships and forage issues. And these are just a couple sources that could be considered in the future, but others could be added. All right, also being defined under Alternative 2 would be the ABC control rule. The SSC, unfortunately, for the 2010-2012 specifications, was unable to provide final guidance on the ABC control rule. And we'll talk about this in a second, but the committee has identified an interim control rule. And as I go through the slides, I'll talk about that a little bit more. The annual catch limit would also be defined under Alternative 2. It would be defined as the catch level selected for harvest, and it would be the stockwide ACL would be created by using the acceptable biological catch and subtracting management uncertainty, which kind of leads you to wondering what management uncertainty is, which is my next slide. Similar to scientific uncertainty, there are several possible sources of uncertainty to be considered, including bycatch and discards, the Canadian and state waters catch, as well as the impact of the ASMFC management measures. These are the ones we were considered in the 2010-2012 specs, but others could be added and dropped in the future, like I said. And the final definition under Alternative 2 is accountability measures. And these are just defined as the measures to ensure that the ACL will not be exceeded and mitigate any ACL overages that may occur. And we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to go through two different options for accountability measures today. Okay, so you guys have the task of choosing between two different options under Alternative 2 today for the specifications. This is our no-action alternative, where the current specifications would be rolled over into the proposed specifications, and nothing would change. However, option two gets rid of joint venture processing, total joint venture processing, internal waters processing, as well as the total allowable level of foreign fishing, or the TALF, and the reserve. So those would be removed from the specifications process. Okay, we would be in Alternative 2, we would establish sub-ACLs. The council will be able to divide the ACL into sub-ACLs under this option and be divided into four different management areas, accountability measures would be able henceforth to be applied to these sub-ACLs, and that's sort of the point. Also, in this alternative, the specifications process is defined. In the specifications process, the PDT is going to develop recommendations for the ABCs and ACLs. That's going to go on to the SSC in a discussion document, which will include the bullet points. And then the council, or the SSC, is going to review that discussion document and recommend an ABC to the council, and the council is going to be bound by that ABC that the SSC recommends, but the council will be able to consider different options for sub-ACLs like I just talked about. So now we're moving on to accountability measures. Done with the ACL alternative. So under the first accountability measure, the alternative one, which is the no-action alternative, there is one existing AM currently, which most of you probably know about, the closure when 95% of the TAC is reached, which is 92, depending on the 3% research set aside. And this is going to remain in place with the no-action alternative. That being said, however, under both options for Alternative 2, that 95% closure. Okay. Better? Okay. right. So under these two options in Alternative 2, that 95% closure would still remain in place. But under Alternative 2, you have two different options. You can choose both, none of them, or one or the other. That's really annoying. So under option one, this is the overage payback option. I'm just going to skip right to the example. That's the way I understand it best. Can people still hear me? In the example, basically, let's say in 2011 there's an overage. In 2012, the numbers would be compilated, and then in 2013 that deduction would be put into place and taken away. It is important to note here, though, that the overages are most likely going to be small because the other AM that we just talked about, the 95% closure, would still be in place. So it's likely that this wouldn't make too much of an impact. The other option for an accountability measure is the haddock catch cap, and this applies current regulations for closure when the catch cap is reached. It's consistent with the haddock sub-ACL for herring, which was established in Amendment 16. So those are the two options under Alternative 2. And now I'm just going to talk really briefly about the environmental impacts. First, the biological, which include the herring resource, impacts to the herring resource, the impacts to habitat and EFH, and the impacts to protected species. In all three cases, the impacts were found to be pretty minimal, shouldn't have a direct biological impact or a direct impact on protected species. And the findings are very similar for the human impacts, the economic impacts and social and community impacts. The direct impact will be evaluated in the specifications project and specifications process once the numbers are set for all the things we're defining, but because this amendment is so procedural and administrative, we're not defining any numbers, so the impacts are likely to be very minimal. Okay, so just to give you guys a review of the public comments, in terms of the process for establishing ACLs and ACMs, a few people felt that the importance of timing needs to be considered in this amendment. They felt that they really felt that it needed to begin as soon in the process needed to begin as soon in the process needed to begin in the year as soon as possible. Excuse me. Some people also felt that a more comprehensive catch analysis is necessary to develop the appropriate ACL process. And several people did comment on the fact that the Amendment 5 was split from Amendment 4, which basically meant that the catch monitoring system got moved to the later amendment, and some people had issues with that. Other comments included comments on stocks in the fishery. A lot of people felt that non-target stocks should be identified in the definition of the stock, including such species as river herring. Some people thought haddock or Atlantic mackerel. And then for sub-ACLs, some people felt that clearer definitions were needed in terms of how the stock mixing uncertainty is going to be accounted for in the specifications process, specifically with the sub-ACLs. And one person suggested that the sub-ACLs be set by the SSC. And another few people felt that there was inadequate information and no reference points to evaluate the individual stock components. In terms of the SSC involvement and the ABC, a lot of people felt that the lack of ABC control rule was very troubling. They felt that it led to conflict over the process. Some people suggested to us potential ABC control rules. Some people felt that the SSC shouldn't be defining the control rule, that the council should. And a few people thought that there should be a risk policy enacted by the council to guide the SSC in determining how much risk the council is willing to take with the ABC and ABC control rule. And a few people commented that they felt the SSC was not given enough of a role or enough direction in this amendment. In terms of uncertainty, a few people felt the need for better incorporation of the sources of uncertainty. They felt that herring is a forage fish and its role in the ecosystem wasn't considered well enough, and they wanted more clarity on the role of herring in forage during the ACL setting process. Contrary to that, some people wanted the language that described herring as a forage species as a part of management uncertainty to be removed from the amendment. They felt that the role of herring was already incorporated into stock assessment and considered as a part of scientific uncertainty, so they wanted that language removed. Other people felt that the discards in the herring fishery are not being adequately monitored or addressed, and other people felt the approach to specify the management uncertainty wasn't defined well enough. And last but not least, the accountability measure, public comments. Some people felt that the first option, which was alternative two, was leaving too much time between the overages and the subsequent deductions. That was the whole example I gave you between 2010 and 2012, that sort of lapse in the accountability. Others felt that the AMs wouldn't be properly enforced without better catch monitoring, and that kind of gets back to that first public comment about the split of Amendment 4 and Amendment 5. Other people felt that the closure at 95% was not going to account for unobserved and unreported discards. And a few people felt that there should be a mechanism in place for addressing sub-ACL underages in terms of and basically carrying the underages into the next fishing year, similar to the way that overages would be. A couple of people felt that the accountability measures were inadequate to address the management uncertainty and felt a lot of it was due to the deficiency in the monitoring system, current monitoring system. Just two other public comments that we heard. One person or one group felt that an EIS was needed for Amendment 4 as opposed to the current EA in Amendment 4. And another group felt that the council should be developing catch shares in the future to avoid the potential issues with the ACL overages. So those were the public comments. I'm just going to get really briefly into some of the things that happened at the meeting yesterday, the committee meeting. What I have on the board right now is the committee motion. The first committee motion, the committee recommended that alternative 2 for the ACLs with specifications option 2 and alternative 2 for AMs, including both options 1 and 2, be the preferred alternative for Amendment 4 and to eliminate section 4.1.2.5 from the document, which was the timing. And the timing section was removed based on NIMS concern. Most people are aware of how the timing works in the specifications process. But the section on timing itself was non-binding and created more confusion than was necessary. So that's why they decided to remove that. The second committee motion was that the interim control rule for AVC be based on SFC recommendations for the 2010-2012 specifications. That's what I was referencing to earlier. This motion was also due to NIMS concern. From now, basically what it means is that the SSC recommendation that the 2010 to 2012 ABC be based on recent catch and that the council, the council had decided that the recent catch would be set at a three-year average from 06 to 08. And so the new ABC interim control rule would reflect those decisions. And that would just be in place until the next specifications process. There's a third motion, which Frank will address next, I believe. But the past three motions were based on the assurance that these minor clarifications would be made to the document as well. Okay, so the first bullet point, the document language will be clarified to illustrate how discards may be counted in the ACL process, which will include examples such as how it was handled in the 2010-2012 specifications. The intent of the change was to provide the council with the flexibility to handle discards in the ACL setting process using whatever data was available at the time. And the approach is going to depend on a monitoring program and data availability. So we want to provide flexibility while we acknowledge clearly that the discards will be counted as a part of catch. The language will also clarify that discard deductions as a part of management uncertainty represent buffers for uncertainty about the discard estimates and not the actual discards themselves. Those will be part of the ACL. The second bullet there is pretty simple, that the accountability measures, the document had previously said that we could implement new accountability measures through the specifications process. That's going to change. We can only implement new AEMs now through the framework or amendment if this is adopted. And the third bullet there, important considerations. The language in the section is going to be clarified to acknowledge the role of herring in the ecosystem as an important consideration, and it's going to state that forage issues may be considered by the SSC as a part of scientific uncertainty when setting the ABC, and that if the council wants to incorporate an additional buffer specifically for forage, it can do so between the ABC and OI because OI includes consideration of the social, economic, and ecological factors. An additional forage deduction would therefore not be included as a part of the management uncertainty. It would be an allocation set by the council when setting OI. And that's pretty much all I have for you guys today. My last slide is just a timeline. This is to let you know that our target submission date is April 1st, 2010, and the council today will be selecting the final measures. And that's all I've got.
Paul Howard.
Talia, on the slide where you had the example, 2011, there's an overage. 2012, there's a compilation. 2013, there's an overage deduction. Are we talking about annual management with an annual spec package and an annual EA, or are we talking about an automatic event? Or are we going to be doing annual management?
Yeah, it's still a three-year specification process, but it's automatic.
Okay. So we won't be doing a framework or a spec package every year.
No.
We'll just determine what the overage is, and mm-hmm. it's taken off of the ACL.
Yeah, exactly.
Further questions? Frank?
Okay. First motion, on behalf of the committee, recommend that alternative two for ACLs with specification options two and alternative two for AMs, including both option one and two, be the preferred alternative for amendment four, and to eliminate section 4.1.2.5 from the document, which is the timing issue. That passed the committee unanimous.
Unanimous committee motion, discussion, council. Anyone on the council? Go to the audience. Anyone in the audience? Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleming, Earth Justice, on behalf of the Heron Alliance. I'd like to make two quick points. First, I'd like to start by reiterating the concern that the Heron Alliance has raised throughout this process that these changes, the implementation of ACLs and AMs, are going to be completed without the benefit of an environmental impact statement. As we've stated many times, we disagree with the view that this is primarily a process-oriented change and that, in our view, what you're establishing here, which is the methods by which you're going to actually determine the amount of fish that are going to be removed from the fishery each year and the measures that are going to be in place to make sure that those limits are not exceeded, are fundamentally big decisions, and it's difficult for us to imagine decisions made by the council that could affect the environment in a bigger way than determining how much fish can be removed from the fishery. Secondly, and I'd also note that technically in this document, I don't see a finding of no significant impact. Fundamentally, what an EA does is it's a process by which you determine whether or not an environmental impact statement is necessary. And before you determine whether or not an EIS is necessary, you have to make a what's called a FONSI, a finding of no significant impact. And we don't see that a FONSI has been completed on this document as yet. My second point relates to the accountability measure provisions. As was just outlined, there's a one-year lag between the overage and the actual deduction for the fishery. I believe earlier drafts of this document would have required that deduction be taken in the immediately following year. And it's our view that based on the data that's available, most of the overages for this fishery and most of the data that's necessary to determine those overages will be well known before the end of the year. And there may be some minor data points toward the end of the year that need to be estimated, and that could easily be done by estimating the overage and then making a minor adjustment in the following year. National standard guidelines state that overage deductions should be taken in the fishing year immediately following the overage. We would encourage you to change that part of this document that allows for a one-year lag between the overage and the deduction. Thank you.
Paul Howard.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make a minor point about what we're voting on. What you're voting on here is that preferred alternative is language we use when we're going out to public hearing. What we're doing now is actually voting to approve Amendment 4 and Alternative 2. So if we could just take out be the preferred alternative and say be approved for Amendment 4.
Is there objection? Without objection? Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak. My name's Gary Libby, Port Clyde. Just about the timeline issue, it's the lag time that Roger was referring to. And I wrote in my public comment, I thought an in-season adjustment for that so you could take it out the following year. Like, say, if you knew the numbers that the overage was by April, I think was discussed at some of the committee meetings, if you could just take it out after April, I would be more comfortable with that myself instead of waiting a full year to take out any overages. You could, I realize it might not be large, but it would seem better to keep it paid up instead of having a overage carrying over for over a year each time. Thanks.
Anyone else in the audience? Okay, back to the council. Anyone on the council? Dave Gaethel.
Question for the staff. Has this fishery ever had an overage?
Yes, there have been some minor overages in Area 1A, and there was an overage. There have been a couple of overages in 1B. The overages that we've experienced in the past, the 1A overages tend to be from you find out later about them from compiling the VTR data, and because the fishery closes from IVR. And then the 1B overage did occur 1 year due to some reporting issues, which hopefully were corrected with the management area boundary changes in Amendment 1.
I think that's my point, is I think most of the overages have been minor. They occurred in the past when we didn't have nearly the reporting system and the compliance and the enforcement that we have now. I just don't see this overage thing as a big issue. I think when the fishery closes at 95%, the only fishing that's left is the 2,000 pounds a day. That's not a directed fishery. And quite frankly, if there were hundreds of people doing it, it doesn't amount to anything. I mean, if the entire bottom trawl fishery doesn't amount to 5% of the fishery, and most of it's over with before the fishery ever closes anyway. So the only other source of overage can be somebody not reporting. And from what I understand, people who don't report now, they only don't do it once because after they're out $1 million or so, it usually jogs their memory pretty well. So with all due respect to the people that have commented on this, I don't see it as an issue, whether it's taken out in year three, year two. I think we're talking about insignificant amounts of fish compared to the total.
Mary Beth?
Just to add to that, I agree with David on that. It really should be very small amounts that we're talking about. And at one point I thought of offering an alternative in which you just did a 3-year running average just to avoid having to, you know, go through hoops for these small amounts. But I think people would have really not liked that since they don't like what's in there, so I didn't bother to go in that direction. But, what we really need is close monitoring of the TAC and not having overages. I mean, that's the goal, is to not go over.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm going back a while now when we discussed this at the committee, and I believe that there was a reason for doing this on the third year, and I think it was, maybe Gene can tell me why we did it. It was some legal thing that you guys had lost a case about when your specifications come out in September for the next year. I think we published the specs in September, but we need the information to publish the specs in September, we wouldn't be able to get the right stuff for your spec process, and that you had a case that you'd lost because of that.
I think what you're talking about is the Dumar decision that we had to have the specs published by January 1st, and there's no way to determine what the overage is by December 31st and then have the specs published by January 31st. So it's required in the fluke fishery anyway that we've made a we've implemented a disconnect essentially between the year where we calculate the overage and then the fishing year itself to allow the overage still to be deducted in the following year, but not in the specs that are published on January 1st.
Anyone else in the council? You ready for the question? Okay, all those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen in favor, opposed. One, abstentions. One. Motion carries 15-1 with one abstention. Frank?
Okay. Next one is that the interim control rule for the ABC be based on the SSC's recommendation for the 2010-2012 specifications. That also passed unanimous, and I think Talia went into the reasoning for that in her presentation. So.
Discussion from the council on the committee motion. Anyone in the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Pam Grumman with the National Coalition for Marine Conservation. To this motion, you know, certainly a lot of concern was expressed by stakeholders over the ABC control rule and that there not being one in the amendment. It's very troubling to us to see the council passes without seeing the language flushed out and being able to read this and make sure that the SSC's interpretation of that language is accurate. So I just want to speak against moving forward with this today. Thank you.
Lori.
The language will state that the ABC control rule will be the average catch from 2006 to 2008.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Anyone on the council? Everybody clear? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed. Abstentions. One abstention. Motion carries 16-0. One abstention. Frank.
Okay. Last motion is to finalize and submit Amendment 4 with the changes. Pass unanimous.
Any comment? Questions? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. 15 opposed. One abstentions. One. Motion carries 15-1 with one abstention. Frank?
Okay, we had a couple of other things come up. One, Rodney wanted to discuss, he's going to bring up under priorities, so we won't bring that up today. That'll be a Thursday's discussion. And the other one was the assessment, but I think this morning that was said it will be taken care of at the NRCC on the assessment timing. So that's all that I have.
Terry.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of comments. One is a follow-up on Frank's initial comment. Is at yesterday's hearing committee meeting, we received a last-minute list of agency comments. And while they weren't showstoppers, and Gene and Carrie and Lori and Talia worked to help us resolve the language, it would really be helpful and greatly appreciate that if in the future we can receive the agency's comments prior to coming to the last committee meeting before an action like this. If I feel, at least for myself, if I had a little bit of time, I could have thought about it more than feeling like I was having to think on my feet. And after Pat responds, I've got another comment.
I certainly don't disagree, but we provide the comments as soon as we get the document. And so, you know, we work with the staff to the extent that we can. The comments, we saw the final document just recently, and so we commented on it. And, you know, those as far as I know, they ended up actually being mostly just questions of clarification. I don't disagree. We get them to you as soon as we can.
They're great comments, and certainly what we need to finalize the document. I mean, process-wise, can the committee get emailed these comments prior to the committee meeting itself?
Well, we'll certainly try.
Yeah, thanks. And the other issue I wanted to talk about, and Frank referred to it, was the timing of the assessment. And I want to refer to the attachment 6, which is exchange of letters between Paul and Nancy Thompson. And while I certainly understand the timing issues, I really feel that we need to balance these issues with the best available silence and a full assessment. And my concern that is, if we don't undertake a substantial review and incorporate a new model, we stand the risk of getting the same retrospective pattern results. And looking at reading Nancy's letter here, you know, it says, given that the assessment will be held 6 months earlier, there'll be less time to work on the assessment, less data available, and the terms of reference will have to be adjusted. And in the side-by-side, I mean, I note somewhat detailed, more detailed, possible examination, definite examination, likely, definite, somewhat, more, limited, possible. Very key is consider alternative model of differing complexity versus develop an alternative model, including any model advances, and the need to possibly alter the terms of references. So, I guess my question is to Jim. He probably can't answer me, but what's the likelihood of getting this work done by June 2011 so that we can have the science that the industry, all of us, and the public are going to feel the most comfortable with before we set the next spec package?
Well, you kind of threw me that you said June of 2011 just now?
No, June of 2011.
Okay.
I don't know if I moved it down. Yeah, I can't move it.
Yeah, I think what's appropriate for me to do is to comment on what's in this table, but not to directly. I can't really address your question. You've pointed out that there will be differences in what can be accomplished depending on when the assessment is done, and in fact, I'm representing the center, but the people who will actually be doing this work would be the ones to tell you, you know, the specifics about what it means, the differences between the cells in a similar row. And I think Nancy's response indicates that those are discussions that still need to occur. But the point is that if the assessment were held in June of 2012, that a lot more could be done in a number of ways than if it were done in December of 2011. But still, there are a lot of things that could be done if the assessment were held in December of 2011 compared to if it were to be done in 2010, which would practically, you know, eliminate all of the new work that you would like to see or that we would like to do.
I guess my closing comment would be is, I mean, this having the best possible assessment that we can in a new model is too important for the, both the industry and the resource not to have. And it's been agonizing to go through the spec package with a great deal of distrust that a large number of people have had in the assessment in that huge retrospective patterns. And I really would not like to replicate it, so I wish the NRCC good luck in their deliberations.
Well, before we break on this issue, I'm not comfortable with just saying fix it at the NRCC without having a very clear vision of what it is that the council expects the council leadership to deliver or to ask for at the NRCC. And I think you need to work with your advisory panel and your committee to figure out what's the best trade-off. A quicker assessment, given giving up some of the things that you're seeking. You know, we're going to go in there and do what it is that you tell us to do or ask us to do, but you need to figure that out. I wouldn't expect us to do that without that input. Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that's a point well made, and hopefully we will get this on our March committee meeting's agenda.
That was essentially what I was going to say, John, that you know, we did have this discussion of the trade-offs at the last NRCC meeting, the benefits of doing it in 2012 versus doing it earlier, and where we ended up was leaving it in 2012, but then the council actually voted subsequently to request that it be earlier, I mean, even before the letter that was sent recently. And so we've sort of been back and forth over this, and so the important thing is that the council have a clear, unified position for the NRCC meeting in May.
The other issue is, and I know I asked for it, I'm not sure if it's in the binder, but is a list of the scheduled assessments for summer and winter, because if we go in there asking for herring, say in June of 2000, and what did you say, 11? Or if we, right, something may have to get bumped. That's what we'll hear from the center is, well, fine, but that means that codfish doesn't get done or something in the mid doesn't get done. So, I mean, they try to plan out, I think, 6 cycles into the future. I could be wrong about the number of cycles, but so it's not just an issue of what are the trade-offs for the herring assessment in terms of the quality or breadth of work being done, but it's also a broader question for this council and perhaps, you know, the mid and ASMSC, because we all share the center. What are the trade-offs there? Mary Beth?
I think you characterized that pretty well, and I think one of the issues it's for herring and other species as well is resources, and I think that what was helpful about this letter is that it lays out exactly what needs to get done, and you can then have a constructive discussion about weighing all of it and what resources, you know, could be brought to bear to improve the situation. From my perspective, the sooner the better. But I also agree with Terry that repeating, you know, a bad assessment because we haven't taken the appropriate steps is not going to help either. So I would like to see us, you know, have these discussions between now and our next council meeting, which I believe is in April, and before your coordinating committee meeting, and see if we can't, you know, figure out some of those items of importance and have a well-rounded discussion.
I think to maximize that discussion in April, you're going to have a committee meeting, at least one, between now and the April council meeting. So I think there needs to be some correspondence before that meeting or some conversation so that questions that are going to come up can be answered. You know, I don't know if you want a representative from the Science Center at your committee meeting for a part of the agenda so that you can have a back and forth or what have you, but I would suggest we do more preceding that committee meeting and perhaps an AP meeting than just say we'll talk about it when we get there in April, because we're getting short on time. Mary Beth?
Actually, having spoken to Jim about this and who put together these items of importance, I think anybody else has a chance to talk to Paul Rago tomorrow should take that opportunity, and Nancy as well.
Doug Grubb?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I read the letter, it seemed that we had a conflict between what the science the stock assessment could produce, and what our process was, and that if we did it in June, we probably wouldn't have our specs in place by January 1, which, didn't I just hear there was a court decision that indicated that that was problematic? And I can see from this list, certainly if we did it in December, that we wouldn't have 2011 landings data. I mean, that's clear, and that's, but some of these other things that I see in here, there's going to be a certain amount of time that it's going to take to do some of this analysis, and whether you start in June of 11 or in January of 2012 in preparation for those assessments, they're going to take the same amount of time to try and address, particularly trying to get at this retrospective problem. So I guess my question would be, in anticipation of this meeting, is to have someone from the Science Center give us more information about why some of these things say somewhat detailed versus more detailed, possible versus definite. And I'm getting away from the landings data because clearly we won't have that.
Paul Howard.
I think another concern you have to look at is that we really, it's not the most effective use of resources to do three-year specs without a new stock assessment and then have to redo three-year specs with a new stock assessment, a new benchmark assessment. There's got to be a way that we don't do a year's worth of work when we know we're going to dismiss one of them. So, and the other thing that we should keep in mind, say, in fact, we keep the stock assessment for June of 2012. Well, then the plan ought to be to consider keeping the same specs in place for 2013, for 1 year, and then during 2013 do 14, 15, and 16. But there'll be a rush, if it's good news, to change that in 2013. And so those are all the things that we need to look at up front. Is, you know, can you implement something mid-year? Because the specs have to be in place by January of the year. You know, that's when the fishing year takes place. So it's a lot of resource implications.
David?
Yeah, I think something people should keep in mind, I mean, I keep hearing about a new model or a new stock assessment. There will be a new stock assessment, but I'm not aware at this time of any new model. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be one come out in the next couple of years, but right now you have two models, two existing models, and both of them, they don't agree, and they both have issues. And so what's going to occur is during this interim period, people are going to investigate those issues and try and get to the bottom of them and figure out why you have, you're getting different numbers out of each of them and why you have this retrospective pattern in one of them, at least, that seems to be getting larger all the time. And that stuff takes time. So I think that, you know, what the council should be asking is what investigations does the Science Center plan to be doing between now and the benchmark assessment to answer those issues and look at that timeline and see if you think that's realistic. Because chances are, like I said, unless some new model drops out of the sky that I'm not aware of, that you probably will be using one of those models, and what you really want to do is not, is in this stock assessment process, is get those to be as accurate as they can and to try and deal with this issue, this retrospective pattern issue. That's the question I think the council should be asking of the Science Center, not can you move it up and give us a new model, because it may be that the time it takes to do all this work is makes a certain date unfeasible, and you may get a lot better information by waiting six more months and get at the answers to the questions that you really want, which is, you know, what is the real number here? Is it the one up here or the one down there? That's what we really need to know, because they can't both be right.
Sally?
Excuse me. I agree with what David just said. We don't want to be
rushing something when we could just wait a little bit longer and be able to have a better outcome. I mean, sooner would be better, but if sooner means that the Science Center isn't able to do the work that they need to do a new benchmark, then what's the point? Related to this is just a question for staff in terms of timing for Amendment 5. The reason I voted against the final measure was because we ended up splitting this amendment, and it seemed nonsensical to me to have one part and not the other. So I see, you know, getting back to the task of establishing a workable monitoring system for the herring fishery as a high priority for lots of reasons. And so I just look to staff to talk about what the timeline might be for Amendment 5.
I believe that the milestones for Amendment 5 are in the binder, I think, behind tab 1. And currently, we do have a two-day committee meeting scheduled March 30th and 31st to hopefully flesh out the catch monitoring alternatives and be close to done with developing those alternatives. Then, of course, we still have a slew of additional issues that have been added to Amendment 5, including river herring bycatch measures, access to groundfish closed areas, and spawning protection, which we have not even gotten to yet. The timeline, we would like to have this council approve the full range of alternatives for Amendment 5 at the June council meeting, and then the draft EIS at the September council meeting, so that we could then go to public hearings by the end of this year and select final measures for Amendment 5 at our first meeting next year. I think that's somewhat optimistic. If we do keep all of those other measures in the amendment, I think we're probably looking at alternatives in September and a draft EIS, you know, at the very beginning of next year, followed by public hearings and hopefully April for final approval of measures. Either way, the plan is to get the vast majority of the work done on Amendment 5 this year and get it submitted as early in 2011 as possible.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's a number of considerations that people have identified that are important. And when we first started thinking about these things, we passed a motion. I made the motion for 2010. In discussions with the Science Center, it's become pretty clear of why that's probably not a good idea. But I still would like to see the assessment process, a well-done assessment benchmark, happen as soon as we could, and for a number of reasons. You know, this is having an extremely negative impact on the industry. The assessment, whether you agree with the scale of it or not, indicates a stable biomass. We've taken a fishery that was in fairly good shape in the past 3 years. It's absolutely unbelievable where that fishery is today. It's still considered not overfished, overfishing not occurring. We've turned the landing stream on its head coming out of the Gulf of Maine. In Maine, we are significantly impacted. People are losing their jobs. There are ecosystem considerations that need to be taken into account. When you get, southern Maine down to the Cape, the alternatives for different baits are greater. In Maine, we're very dependent on herring. People are trying to replace it with other things. Some of those things are being shipped in from other regions in the world. And what does that mean to the ecosystem in the Gulf of Maine? There are just a number of reasons why the council needs to make a high priority for trying to move forward with a good assessment. A good assessment as soon as we can. And, you need to remember that if you live in eastern Maine and you have a job at a cannery that's hanging on by a thread and you lose that job, this economy is not great, and it hasn't been great down there for a long time. I mean, there are not other jobs in that community for those people. So I just want people to remember why it's important that we need to move forward as soon as we can.
Terry.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, for many of the reasons that Mary Beth just raised, I mean, this discussion, you know, certainly underscores my support for incorporation of all the best science in the next assessment before we set the next three-year spec package. And for the Council's information, Maine DMR and the University of Maine is working on the development of a new model. And I'll have more information to report probably to the committee at the March meeting.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been listening intently and wanted to make a few comments here. I'm concerned, as were many of the speakers, that the small amount of time we may gain in these two alternatives seems to be a lot that could drop off the radar screen. You know, the obvious ones, yeah, there won't be as much landings data, there won't be as many trawl surveys. Those are obvious and unavoidable, but I think the real big one is this question of model reformulation, and there is another model waiting in the wings, by the way, and it was recently published in the IC's Journal for Mackerel by Mustafa, Linkover, Holtz, and Terrell, and it's an approach which explicitly models the predation mortality by the major predators, in this case on mackerel, but the principles would all hold for herring, and I suspect that that's what's being thought about here when I see the model-based estimates of M2, implications of large whale predators. That's falling right out of this paper. And there, down at the very bottom of page 2 is consideration of models under the accelerated timeline and the actual development of these models under the slower timeline. I think that's where this is pivoting, what we could lose versus what we could gain with a short amount of time. I'd be very interested in hearing someone from the Science Center come to a committee and talk to us. We could read more between the lines of this. I think that might be essential to do that as quickly as possible before you have to make decisions relative to the NRC. Thanks.
Anything further? So just so I can come away from this discussion understanding what we've talked about and where we're heading in terms of next steps, we've got a two-day committee meeting coming up. Is there an AP meeting scheduled at all?
Not yet.
Are there plans for one?
I hadn't planned for one prior to that two-day committee meeting because there's a lot of work the committee, I think, needs to do before the AP can really provide clear and productive input. There's a possibility of making one of those days joint with the AP.
Okay, I just suggest you consider that. I'm not saying to do it, but so there's going to be, hopefully, there's going to be an invitation extended to the Science Center to attend a portion of that two-day meeting for a specific agenda item to talk about the next assessment, the pros and cons, the trade-offs, and all of the other various items that came out in this discussion today. I trust somebody captured all of them, and we'll make sure that they come up. So that we'll have an agenda item in April to receive that discussion from the committee, and that way the council can charge the NRC us with what to do at the NRCC meeting. Is that clear? Okay. Anything further under herring? Patrick?
Patrick Paquette, Recreational Fishing Alliance, Massachusetts Striped Bass Association. A question about agenda and process. Thanks, John, for recognizing me. During Frank's report, Frank mentioned a motion from yesterday. I thought the motion, well, I'm unclear as to how that a motion from yesterday may be coming up under priorities, but my read of the agenda is that the priorities discussion on Thursday was going to be outstanding issues, and I didn't know there was an outstanding issue with regard to herring as a priority for the council. So can I, because I'd rather see that happen, this discussion, I was there yesterday, I'd rather see that motion come today. I don't even think it passed. I don't even think I got a second at the committee. But I'd rather see the council get it today because I don't think, I'm suspicious of another tack on to Amendment 5 that I've testified on at least two prior council meetings against, and I believe it's also on a motion that's already come before this council and failed regarding Amendment 5. So If me and a couple of my constituents need to get back in a car on Cape Cod and drive back here Thursday morning because something's coming up, we'd like to at least know that's coming up, because I really don't want to, you know what I mean? I was at the committee meeting. Frank's now announced that there's a motion coming to priorities, but, you know, I'm, as a member of public, I'm sort of lost, and I just believe we were just informed that there's going to be a hearing motion under priorities, so I'm confused. I'm asking Mr. Chairman what's going to happen, what's going to be in order or not in order, or if we're going to talk. I mean, it's everybody. I'm sorry. It was about laps and ITQs or whatever, allocations for herring boats. And I just, if this is coming, it's coming. It was Mr. Avila's motion yesterday that Frank reported as part of this today. And I'd like to, like, I think the public deserves to know what's coming up on the agenda. There was no meeting materials posted about this either under priorities on the website.
I may have missed it, Frank. Did you say there's a motion coming?
I said there was discussion yesterday that from Rodney. I didn't go into details. It was on catch shares for the herring industry, and I ruled that it really wasn't. I didn't rule that it wasn't an order, but we said it would be better. Rodney said he would bring it up under priorities, so it wasn't a herring issue yesterday. But
so my contention, Mr. Chair, is that being that was part of the herring committee report to the council, I'm now sort of asking you. Is because on my read of the agenda is that it was going to be outstanding issues for priorities, and I think a lot of us thought that was a result of revisiting scallops. But is there a herring committee issue under priorities Thursday morning or not? Because I really don't want to drive here for nothing, and I don't want to inform constituents that we have yet another battle on the same motion.
Yeah, Paul Howard brought that agenda item forward, so I just asked him to briefly, not do the whole presentation, but briefly tell you what it is that he's going to discuss under that item.
Okay. It was basically, we're going to discuss the joint scallop groundfish action and basically make a recommendation that it not occur, that the scallop industry and the scallop PDT is fully employed with the amendment and a framework adjustment and a stock assessment to do that joint action. And, basically asking the council to reconsider that. Scallop, a joint scallop groundfish action.
Cool, thanks. So I guess I still don't feel like I got answered, and I'm not trying to be a pain, but
Patrick, I can't tell you what another council member may or may not choose to raise under priorities tomorrow.
Okay, so there could be new motions accepted under priorities regarding the hearing committee.
Sure, I think at any point a council member can make a motion to.
Okay, I thought we set priorities at the last one. So okay, so we'll muster and
we set them in November, okay. On day one, if I have it right, and then day two and day three we tacked more stuff on, and then between then and now the staff and myself have looked over the amount of work requested of the council body, and that's why it's back on the agenda, is to say we can't do it all. Something's got to give.
I understand.
So okay. I guess the short answer is sure. It could come up tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we've been informed that it is coming up Thursday morning. All right. Thank you.
Anything further under herring? Okay, we're going to take a 20-minute break before the next agenda item. For this agenda item, are behind tab number 1, document number 2, and 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 document number 2.